Yep, praise the Lord. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all this evening. Welcome those of us online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Let It Rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. His name is higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. His name is higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything, ruler of everything. Yes, He is ruler of everything. Amen.
All right, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I guess we're the ones left that aren't working Awanas. Oh, quite a few adults next door working Awanas. That's a good thing. Amen. And so we're proud of those over there ministering in the with the kids and standing in the gap. So that's a good thing. Awanas kick back off tonight, so they're going to go at it for a while. That'll be good, good, good. Amen. So just us chickens. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well tonight. Hope you're having a good, good week. And the good news is the heat wave's going to break here in about 4 days. So hallelujah. It's just going to be in the upper 90s for a while, not 100, not 105. we are either going to tie or just come close to tying the all-time span of having over 100 degree days in the summer. The record was from 2011 with 46 days, and we're at 43 days as of today. So they're saying another 3 days over 100 will tie it. So I remember 2011, but I was in Pearland at the time. I don't know if it didn't feel this hot. That's what a lot of people are saying. It's never felt this hot. And it's like crazy. It's been crazy. Maybe it's just because it's so dry. I don't know if 2011 was this droughty. I remember 2013 was droughty, right? 2013 was drought, but 2011, it rained, but it was this hot. I don't know. Anyway, hallelujah, praise the Lord, the heat wave's coming to an end. Huh? Mr. Carrier, Mr. Payne, and Mr. Lennox. All those guys that keep those compressors going. That's good, good, good. Do we have any praises tonight? Any praises?
Sharon Heibarger says, uh-huh. Praises that mom is feeling better and praise God for answered prayer.
All right, Miss Vicki.
Lori wants to praise the Lord that her tooth thing went good.
All right.
Wisdom tooth.
Okay. You got that thing out, huh?
Yep.
All right, did you get all chipmunk cheek?
Not too bad.
All right. No dry socket? When did it happen?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Okay, be careful sucking on straws. You don't get a dry socket.
No straws.
You ever had a dry socket, you know that hurts really bad. I think I had one out of the four I had pulled. But anyway, all right, doing better. Answer to prayer. Answer to prayers. All right, any other praises tonight? Anything? All right, any prayer requests? Anything? Got the shut-ins, Ronnie Holman's cancer, Ronnie Vaculik's health. Let's see here, those struggling with addiction. What else? Anything else? Unspoken, those of you with unspoken prayer.
Oh, and Sharon just chatted, pray for Kinsey and family restoration.
Okay.
And pray for Justin to have focus, and clarity, and recall for test. They're getting harder.
Yeah, okay. Kinsey, what was that Kinsey prayer request again?
Pray for Kinsey family restoration.
Family restoration. Family restoration, and the other one was Justin.
Justin have focus, clarity, and recall for tests because they're getting harder.
Focus, recall.
Yeah, focus, clarity, and recall.
On tests. Clarity and recall. Amen, amen. Okay. Anything else? No. Pray for the school. Okay. Amen. Any specific need you want to mention? No, just pray for the good year. Amen. Outstanding. Have a good year. Want a good year going on. Very good. All right. Well, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for all you do, how you bless. Thank you for all the salvation that we have tonight, Lord, that we can rest in and have that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we are just overjoyed and thankful, Lord, that we can see on the weather forecast for next several days that rain chances are coming back. We pray we desperately get some rain here, Lord, here at the church, at my house, at other people's houses, Lord, in the congregation. Lord, our places are dry. Ground is dry. Lord, driving over the bridge, Spring Creek is dry as a bone, Lord. If we just pray, fill it back up. So, Lord, we're asking for rain, and we're thankful that it looks like the heat wave is going to finally break. And, Lord, we pray that the Pacific Ocean gets to enjoy the rest of that heat dome as that thing moves way west and gets over the water and allows some of these rain showers to come down from the north and the west. So, Lord, we're praising you and thanking you for that. Thank you for the change of seasons. You know what we need, and you know when we need it. And, Lord, we certainly do need it now. So we praise you and thank you for what's coming. Lord, as we think about these praises, we lift up Miss Vicky to you tonight. We're thankful that she's doing better with her health, and we pray you continue to give her improvement. Watch over her, Lord. Touch her body. Help her. And then, Lord, we lift up Sharon's other praise that, Lord, you do answer prayer. We know that. You're a sovereign God. You want to help us. You're not against us. You're for us. And so, Lord, we just praise you tonight that you're a God that answers our prayers. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we think about our prayer requests, we lift up our shut-ins to you. And, Lord, we're thankful that some of them are online with us tonight. We pray that you bless them in a special way, their attendance with us. And, Lord, just give them encouragement through our services and through our Bible studies and sermons and, Lord, just everybody here and just making an impact in their life. Thank you that they make an impact in our life with their prayers and their supports for us. So, Lord, we just thank you and lift up our shut-ins tonight. We lift up Brother Ronnie Holman and his cancer struggles and cancer battle. Lord, we pray you might deliver him and help him through what he's struggling with. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you're doing in his life, for how you're sustaining him. And, Lord, we lift up Nancy to you tonight. We pray that you'd help her as she cares for him and help her with her health challenges, Lord. And just watch over them both, and we just thank you for them, what they mean to our church. And then, Lord, we lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you, and we pray for his health. We pray you might continue to touch his body and sustain him, Lord, with all the different ailments and challenges that he deals with on a daily basis, from the neuropathy, Lord, to the ringing in the ears, to the issues with the pancreas, to just everything in between, Lord. We just pray you touch his body, bring healing to him. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with addiction. Lord, we pray for Paul, and we pray for Stevie, and we pray for Steve. We pray for others, Lord, as they come to mind. Perhaps they're coming to mind to these different folks out here in the congregation. Lord, we just lift them up. We pray for deliverance. We pray that they would get past this sin that so easily ensnares them, Lord, this addiction that continues to hold them back, keep them out of work, keep them dependent on other family members, Lord. Just keep them not doing what you would have them do. So, Lord, we pray you would deliver them from these addictions and help them get on the right path. And then, Lord, the unspokens tonight, we're thankful that we can lift these unspoken requests up to you each and every night. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that you hear us and that, Lord, we can give it to you silently. Lord, whether we're here or whether we're heading home from here or when we get up in the morning, Lord, we lay that unspoken request down at your feet again. Lord, thank you that we can do it over and over again. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you hear us. And, Lord, we pray that you just continue to work through these unspoken requests as we give them up to you. We praise you and thank you for hearing us tonight. And then Kenzie, Lord, as we think about Sharon's daughter, Kenzie, we're praying for her family restoration. Lord, be in the midst of that. We pray that you would just help that reconciliation, restoration happen. And we would give you a testimony of praise and, Lord, just a testimony of thanksgiving if this comes to fruition. So we just continue to pray for this. And then Justin, off in school, Lord, doing his training for the Navy, we pray that you help this young man, give him focus, give him clarity, give him recall on these tests as these tests are getting more challenging, they're getting harder. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help him adjust to that and step up to that and, Lord, just see him through and help him get through this program. Lord, we pray for our school, and we're praying that, Lord, you just give us a good year, And Lord, we talk about sometimes these little foxes that nip at the vine. The vine wants to grow and the vine wants to go, but there's always little foxes that try to take it out. And so, Lord, we're praying that you curtail the little foxes. And, Lord, just allow the vine of that school to grow and bring glory and honor to you this year. We're praying for a good year, Lord. We're just praying you undergird each and every teacher. Keep them encouraged. Give them the strength. Give them the patience, Lord. Give them the rest. Give them the nutrition that they need to do each and every day and be the best they can to get that Christian curriculum into the hearts of these children. Lord, we know it brings about huge dividends for the kingdom and has the huge potential of bringing glory and honor to your name. So, Lord, we just thank you for the school. We thank you for those that work there. We thank you for the families that are represented there, Lord. And we just pray a special anointing on the school for this year and pray that it have a great, great year, Lord. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. As we get off into it, we pray that you would just open our hearts and minds to receive it. And, Lord, we may hear some things that might challenge us a little bit, the way we've been taught or the way we've been brought up. Lord, I pray we'd receive them with grace. And, Lord, we can certainly round robin and discuss these things next time we get together. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's look at our Bibles. We are dealing with these, what did we call them? My goodness, we were talking last time. Go to Leviticus 19 if you want to look at that chapter. It's really kind of where we're working through. But we're dealing with this thing called holiness. And what did we say last time? We said last time, we were dealing with it, and we said, he who had all the position, and he who had all the status, and we said, he who had all the power, he who had all the visible glory of heaven, we said that he set it aside, and he took upon himself human flesh, so that he could suffer and die to save his creatures. Who are we talking about? That's right. And that's right out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And this act was symbolized, Jesus leaving the glory of heaven and Jesus taking on the form of a servant. We said that this act was symbolized by the washing of the disciples' feet per John chapter 13. And it was to be an example that they, Jesus' disciples, were to follow. Well, what were we talking about when we were talking about all that? Talking about Jesus leaving heaven and talking about him washing the disciples' feet. Well, we were talking about some perversions to holiness, right? Holiness can be perverted in this church age that we are living in and trying to serve the Lord in. And we've been talking about considering the following misconceptions and distortions of holiness. The first one was stained glass holiness. We also refer to it as ceremonial holiness. That's kind of separating worship from daily living, separating religion from taking the word outside these four walls. So it's stained glass, you get it, also referred to as ceremonial holiness. And then we talked about positional holiness. That's what we were talking about when we were mentioning Jesus Christ. Amen. The people through the ages have wanted a position, and Jesus basically is saying, if you want a position, serve. That's the position. Amen. That's the position. If you want one, be a servant, right? And so just because you have a position doesn't mean you're necessarily holy. Now, as we continue on this evening, we're talking about equating holiness with the miraculous. Equating holiness with the miraculous. Again, we're talking about misconceptions and distortions of holiness. Equating holiness with the miraculous. Here is one of the most subtle, and we could call it dangerous, errors of all. What do you mean, preacher? Assuming that wherever miracles are performed, God must be present, and the person performing the miracle must be holy. Now, there are two tests of a true prophet, a true man of God, if you will, laid down in the Old Testament, which ought not to be forgotten by the New Testament saint. What's the test? Well, the first is that of an evidence of divine power. The first is that of an evidence of divine power, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22 reads this. Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. You're more welcome to turn there. I'll read it to you. The Word of God reads this. It says, "But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet," this is the Word of God speaking, not Pastor Lee. The Word says, Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22, it says, "That prophet shall die." And you may say in your heart, "How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. Now, contrary to popular opinion, this text does not teach what some have assumed. It does not teach us that any prophet whose words come true is a true prophet. It teaches that any prophet whose words do not come true is a false prophet. You see that? See that distinction? The absence, then, of the miraculous element is proof of a false prophet, but the presence of the miraculous is not necessarily proof of being a true prophet. Because who's the imitator? Who's the imitator? Right? Satan. That's right. This is clearly seen in an earlier text in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. The Word of God reads, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him." Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. So here, it is recognized that false prophets will manifest miraculous power. But the acid test of a true prophet is not the presence of miracles, but his adherence to the Word of God. His adherence to the Word of God. The Lord's words in the New Testament seem to go even further. In Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, and then picking it up again in verses 20 through 24, more than welcome to turn there. I'll read it to you. The Word of God says this: "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Your Bible will say, perhaps, "you workers of iniquity. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock." Now, there are two tests of a true prophet laid down in the Old Testament, which ought not to be forgotten by the New Testament saint. The first is that of the evidence of divine power. The second is that false prophets will be known by their fruits. False prophets will be known by their fruits. Their fruits do not include miracles. All right? Fruit, miracles, not fruit. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Yes? Amen. Galatians. So their fruits do not include miracles, which they may well perform. Prophesy, they may well prophesy. Exorcisms, they may do that. Miracles, may claim to do miracles. But are they keeping the Lord's words, which in the context of the Sermon on the Mount are the heart of the Old Testament law? We've talked about how the Sermon on the Mount kind of relates to the first five books of the Old Testament. So these miracle workers are said to practice lawlessness. These miracle workers are, in Jesus saying that. Those who are wise, Jesus taught, will, unlike the false prophets, hear his words and act on them. So here's one of the great dangers of all time. Some Christians are remarkably gullible and will eagerly follow any person, appears to be holy, demonstrated, they think, by having miraculous power. The fruits by which are to determine one's holiness are the fruits of keeping our Lord's command, not those signs and wonders which Satan is also able to produce. For example, Revelation 13:13. So, power is not synonymous with piety. Even Christians who have miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit may exercise these spiritual gifts from carnal motives and for carnal purposes. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he tries to show that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power through gifted people is not proof of their piety. Those who seem to have the most spectacular gifts and thus the largest following were not necessarily the most spiritual. Does that make sense at all? A little bit? Amen? And so what are some of the perversions of holiness that we've covered? Consider the following misconceptions and distortions of holiness. We've looked at the stained glass. We've also referred to it as ceremonial. We've looked at positional holiness. We're talking tonight about equating holiness with the miraculous. But there's another one we want to cover tonight quickly, and that is isolational holiness. Isolational holiness. Yes, isolational holiness. This will be a challenge for us, right? This one will be a challenge. It's okay. It's okay to be challenged a little bit spiritually. This one will be a challenge. Over the centuries, men have tended to equate holiness with separation. Now, once holiness could be measured in terms of the distance between the saint and the sinner, and we've got to have a balance here, right? Got to have a balance here, right? If we don't ever expose ourselves, we don't want to be of the world, we've got to be in the world, right? Don't want to be of it, but we have to be in it. Do you see the balance? Don't want to be out of the world, but we have to still be in the world. Amen? Yeah, we've got to be in it. So if we don't ever expose our Christianity to the sinners around us, how will the sinners around us ever have an opportunity to receive Christ? Right? Now, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying if you have a personal conviction about going to this place or that place, let's just take a bar, for example. You struggle with alcohol. It's been a struggle for you. But you know there are lost people at the bar. That's probably not the best place, right, to go to, right? But there are still other venues where sinners gather that you could go to. That's not a temptation for you, so that you could witness, right? Amen? Right? It may be your job. It may be your work. I mean, there's all kinds of examples, right? But one's holiness can be measured in terms of the distance between the saint and the sinner. No wonder the holy scribes and Pharisees, remember the scribes and Pharisees thought they were holy? Holier than thou, they thought, right? They were shocked by the fact that Jesus spent time with who? Yeah, he spent time with sinners. Well, friend, who else was spending time with sinners? Well, the disciples, they were with Jesus. So Jesus and the disciples were spending time with the sinners. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not like it. Mark 2:16, the Word of God reads, "And when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they began saying to his disciples, 'Why is he eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners?'" Now Jesus' answer was that he came to save sinners. That's a good answer, amen? He who was holy, Jesus, was not defiled by being in the presence of sinners. It was his intrinsic holiness and the holiness of his actions which proved him to be the Holy One of Israel. He gave proof. He was without sin, right? Christians now through the centuries have been tempted to be sanctified by physical separation from sinners. And sometimes we get out of balance with this because you know what we do? This is what we do. Can I be honest with you? This will be a little challenging, but let's be challenging now. This is what we do. This is what we do. We all have the problem, not you, but me. We all have it. We want to separate ourselves from sinners, but we forget that the world is only one source of corruption. Our flesh is a source of corruption. And the demonic is also sources of contamination and temptation, right? But we just want to focus on one of them, those sinners, right? We got to keep the balance. So what have we seen through history? We have seen the cave dwellers, and we have seen the hermits, and we have seen the monks who have sought spirituality, holiness, by separation. But if you study the Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus, however, taught that holiness needed to be manifested and multiplied by penetrating the darkness. Amen? Yeah. Penetrating the darkness. Not isolation. Matthew 5, back to that Sermon on the Mount. Why do we keep going back to the Sermon on the Mount? Because we're in the first five books of the Bible. So that's why it keeps coming back up. But back to Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13 through 17. You are the salt of the earth. But the salt has become tasteless. How will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure. Your Bible may say basket, right? But on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, right? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Matthew 5, 13 through 17. Jesus taught the principle, not of isolation, but of penetration, which is precisely what he practiced. Remember the bands, right? The rubber bands. Rubber band bracelet, right? WWJD, what would? Jesus, well, what would he do? Well, he would. Jesus is going to be around sinners, right? Again, you've got to keep the balance. Well, preacher, I just can't put myself in that situation because I've got a conviction about that, a personal conviction. That's your conviction. You're entitled to have that. I just can't put myself in that situation. But there are other situations where somebody else couldn't put themselves in that you could probably put yourself in. Got to keep balance. Amen? Instead of saying, no sinners, no sinners, no. Our holiness, we got to get our Christianity, our sanctification, we got to get that rubbed off. You know, we got to be like a cat. Amen? Can I use a cat analogy? Right? What does the cat do? Rubs up against you, man. That cat says, I like you. I want you smelling like me. Come here. Right? And just rubs up against you and meows. Look at me. See me? Aren't I cute? Amen. Yeah, a little bit. They get over it, though. They get over it, right? But dogs do the same thing, right? They want to get you. They want to get their on you, right? Dogs are big about smells, right? Well, Christians, we ought to be big about our Christianity. I want to get some of this in you. I'm going to get some of this on you. I want you to experience some of what I've got. I want you to be a part of the group, part of the heavenly bound parade. Amen? Right? Jesus taught the principle of penetration, which is precisely what he practiced. Holiness was incarnated in Christ and was evidenced by his fulfillment of the law. So holiness must be in his followers. Now, positionally, we're holy. Positionally, we're citizens of the kingdom right here, right now, if we're saved, right? Now, still struggle with sin? Still struggle with the flesh? Yes, yes. So we combat that with short sin account. We combat that with corporate worship. We combat that with personal Bible study. We combat that with prayer time. You know, we do our personal discipleship work and helps keep that stuff at bay so that we look more like Christ, or should look more like Christ, each and every day we get to spend with Christ, right? And we're going to have setbacks and backslide moments and get back on the horse moments. And, you know, but if we're taking a step back the wrong direction, if we're working the discipleship program and we're sticking with the Lord, then there ought to eventually be, two steps forward, right? We may struggle and have a hiccup again, or we're going to go a step back. But we went two steps forward. And so the next time when we grow, kind of a cycle of growth, spiritual growth, we take another what? Two steps, or maybe a step and a half this time, but we still made some spiritual gain. Amen? That's the ball game, right? Just making some gain. We're trying to get the gospel ball down the road, right? So there's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today. We want to be conscious of this. We're not going to change it overnight, but we can certainly make an impact in our own personal lives. There's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today which has a form of godliness, but which denies God's power to sanctify in the presence of sinners. Right? Oh, I can't be around those sinners. But if we're not around sinners, how are the sinners ever going to get a taste or see the holiness? They got to see it. They got to taste it. We got to bring it. We're beggars. All of us are beggars. Showing the other beggars where the bread is. That's it. That's it. Right? Loving humility. Pointing them in the right direction. All right? So, let me get this thought back. Let me get this, because this was a good thought. I don't want to lose it all. I've got to start from the beginning. There's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today which has a form of godliness, but which denies God's power to sanctify in the presence of sinners who will not see the holiness of God or be saved apart from a demonstration of it in their world. We got to bring them some Jesus in their sinful world. And again, check your personal conviction. If you have a struggle with this, then maybe not go to that place where that this is going to be all around. But there are other venues that you don't have a struggle that sinners are going to be at, and you can make an impact there. Amen? A thought. It's biblical. What would Jesus do? He's going to be eating with sinners and tax gatherers. Amen, amen? All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Amen. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for these that you've gathered here with us. Lord, we pray that we have a good Bible study group, and Lord, those next door would have a good Awana group. And we're praying for safety next door. And Lord, we're praying that the Word of God would go out. We're praying that, Lord, as the classes are started this night, that the expectations would be received by the students. And Lord, there would be a spirit of peace and a spirit of cooperation. in a spirit of respect for the adults. And Lord, we pray as that all happens that the adults are able to convey the lesson and communicate the word in such a way that would impact the hearts of those young minds and young hearts. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of all that, that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction, and that, Lord, we would hear of in the weeks, the months, we would hear some great testimonies of young people growing spiritually, of some getting saved, of some, Lord, just connecting the dots of who God is and what Jesus has done for them. So, Lord, we're thankful that we can be a part of what's going on next door. We're going to hold the fort here, and we're going to be a prayer support for next door. And, Lord, we just pray that you do a great and mighty thing over there. Lord, we pray for Sunday service. We pray in advance. Lord, we just pray it be a great day as we come together. Holiday's over. Official end of summer has happened. Cooler temperatures are on the way. So, Lord, we just praying for a good crowd, praying for a good group of visitors to come. And, Lord, we pray that we would bring glory and honor to your name this coming Sunday. Thank you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, online folks, good to see you tonight.